Amen. Well, despite COVID and all of the difficulties we've been experiencing, yesterday and today, the country will sell more roses and more chocolate than any other single day in the year. In case you don't know if or you have forgotten, this is a day we remember Saint Valentinus of Rome. Saint Valentinus, we call him. He was, or Saint Valentine's. He was a physician and a member of the clergy during the time of the Roman Empire. And today we know him as a patron saint of love and marriage, but there's more to him than that. He was best known for his ministry to persecuted Christians, allowing them to marry in secret, while the emperor Claudius banned marriage during wartime to encourage men to go to battle. But Valentine was also known as a healer and a comforter to the sick and those ill from the plague, epilepsy, and other disorders. He was killed on February 14th in the year 270 at the age of 44. And he was killed for his faith. There is a story, and it might be apocryphal, about Valentinus having to do with a miraculous healing of an aristocrat's daughter. While Father Valentine was in prison, he told his jailer, Asterius, how Christ leads pagans out of the shadow of darkness and into the light of truth and salvation. So Asterius told him that if he could heal his foster daughter from blindness, that Asterius would convert to Christianity. So the story goes that Father Valentinus covered the girl's eyes with his hands and said, "Lord Jesus Christ, enlighten your handmaiden because you are God, the true light." And at that, the child regained her sight. So Asterius and his family were baptized according to the agreement. But when the emperor found out about this whole thing, he ordered them all to be executed. Love has always been a two-edged sword, and I don't, there's no pun intended in that, especially Christian love. Any of you who know, who have been in a loving relationship know that love is a risk. Those who have read the drama of, or seen the drama of Romeo and Juliet know the perils of being in love with the wrong or socially unacceptable person. British playwright John Osborne makes a rather pointed comment about love. It's no good trying to fool yourself about love. You can't fall into it like a soft job without dirtying up your hands. It takes muscle and guts. And if you can't bear the thought of messing up your nice clean soul, you'd better give up the whole idea of life and become a saint, because you'll never make it as a human being. So much for risk in love. Because all of you know how risky it is to be vulnerable to another human being, to let someone in to your life, to take an emotional risk that will change you and expect something from you and hope for something for another, from another. But even more risky than romantic love is the call of Christian love, called agape, love for brotherhood and sisterhood, human bonded love for each other that rises above all disagreements and all challenges and all differences and all politics and even illness. Love that rises above fear. Well, fear is nearly always the source of division between people. Fear drives quest for power and prestige, as we well know, status and competition. Fear drives avoidance and the bias of people who are different from those we are used to being with. Fear drives people to treat others with disdain. Fear of loss, fear of change, fear of others through envy, jealousy, or ego are almost always responsible for our inability to love on a universal and deeply human basis. But as Jesus showed us from his own ministry, agape love, true love, comes from God. And if we want to be lovers of humanity, we must first have a love for God, allowing God to shine God's love through you and me. And that's the ultimate emotional and spiritual risk, for it involves letting go of our own control and even our own conceptions of who God is, and our ability to make our own way and create our own joy. When we allow God in, as Valentinus exemplified in his life and his healing, we allow Jesus to shine his holy light into our lives and into our spirits, so that our very souls are transfigured into a vehicle and a beacon of light and hope, to be the hands and the feet of God, to be Christian healers and disciples and apostles to a world in pain, a world that struggles to love. When we are in love with someone, we call that having our head in the clouds. You remember your parents might have said to you, I remember my father saying to us growing up, get your head out of the clouds. It's not exactly a compliment in our culture anyway. For when you have your head in the clouds, it means you aren't really paying attention to what's going on. You are just stuck in your own cloud with your own visions and your own thoughts of your beloved. But watching someone with their head in the clouds makes us smile, because it reminds us of how amazing and how joyful love can feel. And we know that we've all been there at one time or another, and it feels good to see someone feel that way in love. But in every love story, there's a time when we all have to hit the ground, come back to earth, and step out of the clouds and deal with the real issues of life, the real issues of relationships, and the hard work at times of these relationships. We don't stay in the clouds, but the cloud was an important step to bonding for us who have been in love. Those who have a strong, loving connection prevail against whatever comes their way. Those whose connections are weak falter, and love will seem to slip away. Strong connections, though, flourish at first in the clouds. Our love for Jesus, too, is fed and flourishes first in the divine cloud of mystery, of faith, and of transfiguring grace. In our scripture today, we see Peter, James, and John, three of Jesus' most devoted disciples, with him on a mountain high above the ground. And there, the three watch as Jesus is bathed in brilliant, dazzling light. And then a cloud comes over Jesus as he's speaking to Elijah and Moses, and the voice of God speaks to all of them, saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The disciples' hearts must have been pounding. Their minds must have been reeling, their imagination gone into orbit. Imagine the intensity of that mountaintop experience. The brilliance, the breathtaking light, the mystery, and ultimately, the joy. On that mountain, they experienced a vision of God, a divine presence and power that they would never forget. It changed them, and it would transfigure their own hearts and their ministry to come. After that experience, they came down the mountain and engaged in ministry and healing, even more convinced that what they were doing was infused with the love of God and the power of God, even as Jesus was God beside them and among them. We all need visionary moments with Christ. Sometimes those mountaintop experiences and moments for us may come during prayers, during sacraments, during meditation, or even during an encounter with someone we've never met before. Someone who has inspired us. Like the people that Zona talks about each week, and that we've read about during this incredibly important Black History Month. They inspire us. They enlighten us. Those moments when we become aware of and understand movements that seek to renew and redeem us as people, like the ones that have changed us and opened our eyes and our hearts. Those moments are God encounters, divine soul transfiguring events that mold us and change us. We can't stay on the mountain. We don't stay in the clouds. But Jesus does stay within us and beside us as we go out to the mission field of humanity, to the real people with real problems in real places. Whether that is conveying our love for those who are sick of mind or heart or body, those who are yearning for racial, economic, or social justice, those seeking connections with others who have lost loved ones, those whose lives have been a series of walls to climb or to go around. Christian love is transfiguring love. The love of Jesus, the sacrificial grace of Jesus, changes us in ways that are powerful and intrinsic. We become spiritually strong. We become loving and healing vehicles of Jesus' salvation and grace. As disciples, all of us were meant to be healers, lovers of God's people, and holy physicians of God's salvation promise. We comfort the ill. We feed the hungry. We befriend the lonely. We invite those different from ourselves to connect with us, to be in relationship with us. We love the unlovable. And when we do this, Jesus' transfiguring grace transfigures us over and over again. Today, may the light of Jesus enlighten your life and your spirit, and may you too become a beacon of light in the world. Be brave. Be bold. Take risks. But most of all, love humanity as you love God. Amen.